Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
This is the 16th Sunday after Trinity. I say unto thee, arise. Sermon by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields, late of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic States. All four of the Gospels tell us of the life-giving power of Christ as seen in his raising the dead. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell of his raising of the daughter of Jairus, one of the leaders of a synagogue in Capernaum. St. John reports the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and St. Luke the restoring to life of the only son of the widow of Nain. This last situation was especially sad because the death of a widow's only son meant that there was no one left to carry on the family name. In raising the dead, our Lord was following the examples of two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha. During a long drought in Israel, Elijah had gone into Transjordan to live by a small tributary of the Jordan River. When the little creek dried up because of the lack of rain, he went to Zarephath in Phoenicia and asked a widow and her son living there to share the last oil and meal which they had. Her generosity in dividing this last small quantity of food with him led to the gift from God of an unfailing supply of oil and meal while the drought lasted. But as the dry spell continued, her son suddenly became very ill and died. She accused Elijah of bringing her sin to remembrance and occasioning the death of her son. Elijah took the boy's body to his room, and in response to the prophet's anguished prayer, O Lord, my God, let this child's soul come into him again. The child revived. He delivered him to his mother, who recognized that God was at work. Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of God in your mouth is truth. Elijah's successor as a leading prophet in Israel, restored to life the son of a woman of Shunem, a town not far from Nain. She and her husband had been childless, but in gratitude for their hospitality to him whenever he came by, Elisha had said to her that they would have a child. He was born in due time, but after he had grown to perhaps age 7 or 8, he died in his mother's arms after being in the harvest field with his father and complaining of a severe headache. She went in haste to Mount Carmel and wouldn't leave until the prophet consented to come with her. When they got to Shunem, he went into the child's room by himself, prayed, and laid hands on the boy, who, it is said, after the natural warmth returned to him, sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha called the mother, who with great joy received her son restored to life. Now Christ had come, and as the greatest of the prophets, continued the life-giving ministry seen in the work of Elijah and Elisha. As God had spoken in creation, and it was done, so Christ spoke. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, the Lord cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. The Lord had already said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He went on to say that as the Father had life in himself, he had given the Son life in himself also, and that the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In the first epistle to the Thessalonians, St. Paul wrote a vivid passage dealing with Christ's return, and in it speaks of the cry of command, which all will hear. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. By God's grace, we believe in the life-giving word of his Son. But we certainly find this passage from 1 Thessalonians difficult to visualize. Perhaps we need the faith and imagination of a little 7-year-old girl who said to some adults that a recently deceased acquaintance of them had moved. She was told that no, the lady hadn't moved, but she replied, yes, she has. She moved up to the clouds, to her cloud house, with her cloud furniture on cloud number 23. The little girl didn't reveal how she knew the number of the cloud, but we can be sure that her friend there was still hearing the word of the Messiah, as the widow of Nain had heard it, the word which gives life to the spiritually dead who turn to him, life to those who depend on him day by day, life to those who rest in him. St. Luke goes on to tell us that all of these things were reported to John the Baptist, who was in prison. He sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus' reply was an unmistakable reference to a famous prophecy of the Messiah in chapter 35 of the book of Isaiah. Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. As someone has pointed out, these conspicuous signs of the love and mercy of God were evidence that here was the Messiah present among his people to save and restore. Near the beginning of his ministry, Christ went back to Nazareth on a Sabbath day, and in the synagogue was invited to select and read a lesson. He chose Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, which St. Luke says went like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he sat down and made this momentous statement. Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But the people of his hometown would not accept him, in contrast to the people of Nain, who later had some recognition of who was among them. A great prophet has arisen among us, they said. God has visited his people. His saving work, such as the restoring of life of the young man at Nain, can be seen as fulfillment of these words from the first lesson. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel still visits us with works of love and mercy, signs that the Messiah has come and is with his people to give them the life that endures forever. in his presence. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly to all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now